The Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When some were speaking about the temple, how it was adorned with beautiful stones and gifts dedicated to God, Jesus said, "As for these things that you see, the days will come when not one stone will be left upon another. All will be thrown down." They asked him, "Teacher, when will this be? And what will be the sign that this is about to take place?" And he said, "Beware that you are not led astray. For many will come in my name and say, 'I am he, and the time is near.' Do not go after them. When you hear of wars and insurrections, do not be terrified. For these things must take place first, but the end will not follow immediately." Then he said to them, "Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes, and in various places famines and plagues. And there will be dreadful portents and great signs from heaven. But before all this occurs, they will arrest you and persecute you. They will hand you over to synagogues and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and governors because of my name. This will give you an opportunity to testify. So make up your minds not to prepare your defense in advance. For I will give you words and a wisdom that none of your opponents will be able to withstand or contradict. You will be betrayed even by parents and brothers, by relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death. You will be hated by all because of my name. But not a hair of your head will perish. By your endurance, you will gain your souls." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. I want to give you fair warning. I'm not here to preach about the end of days. I do not intend to proclaim that the time is near at hand. These apocalyptic pieces of scripture are complex, and even the brightest biblical scholars in history will debate and argue about what they really refer to. They may be a telling of the future of the temple, which did in fact fall about 40 years after the death of Jesus, or a variety of other periods of violent Christian persecution throughout history, including in some countries, I'll be honest with you, not ours, today. So in the interest of everyone's time and sanity, I'm not going to speculate that sort of end times. No, I'm here to offer you a revelation or an unveiling, the true Greek meanings of the word apocalypse. Now, as many of you know, I've been gone and hopping across the country for about 4 years. And I could not possibly be more glad to be home back in Seguin and at Spirit of Joy. And as soon as we crossed the Texas border, I mean truly about 5 minutes after we got over the line, we had to start eating our way across Texas. Starting with the Taco Cabana on that first exit and ending just last week with Freddy's Frozen Custard in New Braunfels. There's something about being away that makes you crave those foods and experiences that you had before, in some way trying to relive those old memories and sink back into something so deeply familiar as though you had never left. And in many ways, I've been able to pick back up right where I left off, sitting right next to Kathy again. But in other ways, things have changed so much that I am forced to see a different time and a different place than was here 4 years ago. Driving around town, I see houses and buildings that have been remodeled, some even removed, and yet others whose charred empty shells stand witness to the blazing fires that once burned within. Two of those fires having occurred this week, one of them on the worst best grounds in New Braunfels, which, in fact, that building had already been replaced once due to flooding in my absence. A presidential election has occurred since I've been gone. dividing families and friends through feelings of deep-seated betrayal. And a few who have been frenzied have taken the lives of people they have claimed different from themselves. Wars have broken out in many parts of the world. Nation has gone against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There have been famines in places like Somalia. And even just on Friday, I read an article stating that the literal plague is at live and at large in China. There have been earthquakes and tsunamis, and now a disaster we from Texas are all too familiar with, flooding in Venice. And even in our Spirit of Joy community, things have changed, with some familiar faces which have gone away or left us for the next great adventure in death. And the ever-present stress of a building purchase and the future of this church weighing very heavily on the minds of most, if not all of you. Something that was just a dream when I left. My friends, as I come back to this place, which has not been protected from the movements of time as I had secretly hoped it might have been, I stand here a bit overwhelmed. And though you've experienced these changes and tragedies over time, instead of all at once, I get the sense that you might be overwhelmed too. This is one of those truths of today's gospel, dark though it is, that even Jesus knew these overwhelming feelings. Even Jesus spoke of anxiety and fear and despair and the mourning for what once was. And both before the time of Jesus and after, people the world over have known what that is like. And what's even better, Jesus knew that we and all the people before us would not know how to act under these conditions, and left instructions for times such as these. Jesus tells us that we will be given a chance to testify, to speak our peace and to tell our story. And this seems like a simple and carefree task, but in truth it is one of deep vulnerability. Jesus tells us not to prepare our defense in advance, not to arm ourselves with the words of argumentation, but to wait until the moment is before us and to let fall from our lips the words of the Spirit, which cannot be contradicted or withstood by those who oppose us. To tell our truths with the words that come from our hearts, not our heads. We are not meant to carry these heavy burdens alone, or to share them only in part, but to give them up to one another with no shame or qualification. And by doing so, and enduring these trials in and with community, we will gain our souls, the knowledge of our very selves, which prior to then was hidden from us. And as if these two revelations were not enough to chew on, I have one more for you. Those who were speaking about the temple asked Jesus a very specific question, one of timing and of signs. And preoccupied with their horror and the destruction of the temple, they fail to ask what I think is a very important question. What happens next? So the temple falls, but what then? Is this the end of the world as we know it? Is this the time that we go to join the great banquet at the table of Christ? What now? You would think that if this were going to lead to some great theological one-time-only event, that Jesus might have said something about it here. But rather than saying, prepare yourselves for some great thing on the horizon, Jesus simply says, endure. Though we become preoccupied with the many chaotic and dark things that surround us, the stresses and the hard times of our world, We know that the sun will rise in the morning. The moon set in the evening. The courses they were set, stars on courses they were set on millennia ago. This chaos is not an end. The completion of a revolution around the sun that we call a year is not an end. The celebration of Christ the King Sunday next weekend as the liturgical New Year's Eve, not an end. Natural disasters, traumatic though they be, are not an end. The closing on Wansugiin, I'm sorry because it's stressful, but glad to say, will not be an end. Nor will the renovations and demolitions deemed necessary there. Not even the death of Jesus of Nazareth on a cross was an end. While it is easy to focus on the dark gloom and doom of both life and this passage, the greater hope is left in what is not said, in the open-ended nature of what might come next, in the new beginnings that can only occur at the close of a chapter. The new growth and construction following fires and floods, the potential for new relationship in the sharing of those things which overwhelm us with another, the nearly unbounded potential for new life and new ministry and a new hope in a new place. So take a moment. Own that thing which now is overwhelming you and blinding you from what might come next. And hear these words. A reading from the prophet Isaiah. For I am about to create new heavens and a new earth. The former things shall not be remembered or come to mind, but be glad and rejoice forever in what I am creating. For I am about to create Jerusalem as a joy and its people as a delight. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and delight in my people. No more shall the sound of weeping be heard in it, or the cry of distress. No more shall there be in it an infant that lives but a few days, or an old person who does not live out a lifetime. For one who dies at 100 years will be considered a youth, and one who falls short of 100 will be considered accursed. They shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For like the days of a tree shall be the days of my people. And my chosen shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain or bear children for calamity, for they shall be offspring blessed of the Lord, and their descendants as well. Before they call, I will answer. While they are yet speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox, but the serpent, its food shall be dust. They shall not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain, says the Lord. Rejoice, dear friends, in the beginnings sown by endings. For we know more than most that in death we discover life. Thanks be to God. Amen.